and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 10. What a great gift to give to the Lord is your heart. Because if you give him your heart, he gets everything else with it. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Appreciate the message and song. Colossians 1:10. If you have found it, I'd like you to read it with me. It's our theme verse for this year. And I would like to review our theme in a message for a short time this morning. And then next couple Sundays we'll be focusing more on the Christmas message this season. And then comes January, we'll be into a new theme. But behind me, for those of you that are new, you see a plaque above the baptistry. It says the word fruitful on it. And that has been our theme for this year. And our theme verse has been Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, in particular a phrase that's right in the middle of the verse, but let's read it together and I'm sure you'll see it. Colossians 1:10, let's read it out loud together. Ready? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice in the middle of that verse, there's a phrase that says being fruitful in every good work. We've tried to focus on that word and what it means in trying to make our lives count in everything that we do, being fruitful in every good work. I brought about 20 messages on this subject by different titles, and if you could take all of those messages and divide them into two categories, I talked this year about being fruitful in every good work. Those categories would be the positions we hold and the practices we exercise. The positions we hold and the practices that we exercise. And how God wants us to be fruitful in every position we hold, as well as in every single practice that we exercise. For example, I want to just review the whole year here in a few minutes, and I hope that maybe something I say will jog your memory about a message earlier in the year, or if you didn't hear it, that you'll at least catch the concept before we leave here. See, we were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved by works. We've mentioned this many times this year. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is a gift. It's not a reward. It's not something you earn after a long season of trying your hardest. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go, the only way anyone else can go to heaven is that's by receiving the gift Christ paid for when he died on the cross for our sins. You can't save yourself, so quit trying and start trusting in the Lord today. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But the next verse says, verse 10, "But for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we're not saved by works, but we are saved to work. That's why God left us here after he saved us, is so that we could spend the rest of our lives working for him. Now that work that we do for him should be a fruitful work. He wants us to be fruitful in every good work. For instance, going to church is a good work. I think you'd agree with me. Going to church is a good work. But doesn't mean it's a fruitful work. If some people just come in, do their time, look at their watch, when's this going to be over with, and maybe throw a little money in the plate, and let me get out of here, and you know, no effect on their life whatsoever. It's not a good work. It's not a fruitful work in their life. There's others that come to church, and it's very fruitful. Every time they come, God speaks to them. God ministers to them. God changes them. They respond to the Lord. While they're at church, they minister to others. In a fruitful way, they help disciple others. They help to care for those they see around them that are hurting. Some come to church and they're soul winners at church. Sometimes a great place to go soul winning is right in the middle of the church. And they come with a soul winner's attitude to church. They don't just come to church and get out. It's not a fruitful work in their life, but it's fruitful. They lead souls to Christ in church. Or they pray with people. And they see those prayers answered and needs met for people, and people helped or people healed. And the fellowship strengthens them spiritually. And going to church is a fruitful work for them. Really makes a difference in their lives. Others, it's just time spent. You know, how can I get out of here as fast as possible? Type of thing. It's good work, but it's not fruitful. Prayer is a good work for some people, but it's not fruitful. It's good work for anybody to be involved in the subject of prayer. Sometimes people just pray to the wall or pray to the ceiling. They never have a prayer life that's powerful and effectual. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James said that. It's possible to pray. That's a good work, but not to accomplish anything in prayer. But my friends, there's others that learn how to pray, and they're fruitful in every good work. And man, they see prayers answered. They see God meet their needs. They see God help other people. They see God empower them for service. They see God maybe heal people because they prayed for them. They see maybe God bring back backsliders back into the fold. Their prayers are effectual. They're fruitful in the work of prayer. Bible study is a good work. But it can be, as James describes, somebody looking in a mirror for a little while, seeing their reflection, and when they put the mirror down, they've forgotten everything they ever saw. They didn't get anything from the Bible study. But Bible study can be very, very fruitful. Not just reading the Bible and checking off a box, but understanding and applying the whole body of truth into our lives. We can find Bible study gives us answers to life's questions, gives us wisdom for every age in life on how to live a mistake-free life. Gives us knowledge how to lead others to Christ. Gives us knowledge how to disciple people. Gives us knowledge how to counsel other brothers and sisters in the Lord who are having struggles and problems. Bible study and reading can be a waste of time, or it can be fruitful. We can be fruitful. Our Bible study time can be a fruitful time. Stewardship is a good work. Now, by the way, I'm talking about these practices. I said this year, I spent the whole year talking about practices that we exercise and positions that we hold. I'll get to that later. But there are certain practices that we exercise: Bible reading, prayer, going to church. But are they fruitful? What about our stewardship? What about our finances, our giving, our money? We talked a lot about that back in October, and how person's money can become their worst enemy in some cases. They can get into debt in a hurry. They can be a slave. The borrower is servant to the lender. They can mismanage their funds. Big ships are sunk by small leaks. And sometimes they don't pay attention to their what they think is disposable income. And next thing you know, they've got all kinds of financial problems, but they've spent just amazing amounts of money at restaurants and stores and shopping and spending, and they're in trouble financially. But then there's those that give and they honor the Lord and they get with God's financial program and they present tithes and offerings to the Lord, and their stewardship can be very fruitful. They give to missions. And their money goes all over the world, and while they're sleeping, their money is working. We have two missionaries, Brother Caudle, Brother Forney, up in the Arctic Circle. Up in the Arctic Circle. They go to church sometimes when it's 40 degrees below zero. They go to church then, and that's before the wind chills factored in. And up in those little towns where 100 or 2 people or 200 people live, they'll have churches sometimes with 20 or 30 people in there. People that would have never, ever, ever been reached, ever, if except somebody went to tell him about Christ. Brother Forney, 27 years in the Arctic Circle. That's pretty special to me. Brother Caudle, taking his wife and kids up there to reach those precious souls. And that's just a couple of the 100 we support. And they're getting the job done, but they wouldn't go if there wasn't people who are faithful in their stewardship back here in the United States or other countries that support them. And our faithful stewardship results in a fruitful ministry around the world. Soul winning discipleship is a good work. It is an eternal work. You can learn how to share the gospel with people at any age and show them how to be saved. And you will cross paths with those whose hearts God will open. It says when Paul was talking to those ladies in Acts chapter number 16, as he was sharing the gospel with them, it says, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia so that she attended to the things that were said of Paul, and she trusted in Christ as her Savior. And then she brought him to her house, and the rest of her family got saved. There's actually 3 stories in the Bible where entire families get saved all at once. Why? Because soul winning is fruitful. And discipleship is fruitful, not just getting people saved, but then mentoring them. I praise the Lord. I'm one of the few Christians you'll ever meet who literally had a mentor. His name was Ted Dexter. And he took me and my brother George and my brother Dave and my father, George, he took us, and immediately upon our conversion, he began to mentor us. He taught a course called Personal Evangelism. We went to that course for 13 weeks, and we learned the Roman road. We learned how to win souls to Christ, and we practiced on each other, and he listened to us. And then he took us out to the Erie County Fair, where he had a booth for 41 years. 41 consecutive years he had a soul-winning booth out there where we passed out tracts. I wasn't there 41 years, but I got in on that ministry when I was a teenager. He took us to the Grace and Hope Mission. He took us to the City Mission. And he had us preach. He had us play our instrument, my instrument. I was the only one that played, but he had us play my instrument. He was a trumpet player also. And he got us started in the missions and going around to different churches, giving testimonies. And besides being a preacher, he was an English teacher at Frontier Central, so he'd pick us apart. After we preached, if we dangled our participles or whatever else they were, he'd let us know. We had a mentor. He taught us how to pray. He'd say, okay, we're all going to kneel down here in a circle. And he says, you're going to pray for 5 minutes. And you're going to pray for 5 minutes. You're going to pray for 5 minutes. None of you are going to hog the prayer meeting. You pray, then you pray, then you pray, then you pray. Then we go around again. That's what he did when I was just saved. Very few people can say they had anybody in their life. It did that. My brother George ended up being a pastor. My dad's a pastor. I'm a pastor because we had a mentor who didn't just lead us to Christ and leave us. But his soul winning, his discipleship, and many others he had in his life that he did that with. And he's dead now. He's with the Lord now. But his life and his legacy lives on. He was fruitful in every good work. There's our ministries that God has given us. These are some of the positions that we have, and we should take those ministries very seriously and not just maintain those ministries, but build them that we might be fruitful in every good work. If you have a Sunday school class, that's a good work. If you have a children's church or a bus route or something, that's a good work. If you're out at the Hopevale school on Monday or the nursing home or the prison, or that's a good work. But it's something that if you're not careful, you could just do, and I'm done. It went from 10 in the morning till 10:50. My Sunday school class is done and over. And you can just maintain a class, or you can build a class. And then not only those that you're ministering to, but you can also take your ministry and train someone. There are those who are given ministries, but they never train someone. I want to encourage you, if you're a bus driver, find someone else, train them how to drive the bus. Why? You might die someday. If you know how to sing, train someone else to sing. If you know how to play an instrument, train someone else to play an instrument. No matter what your ministry is in the church, even if it seems obscure or out of the way, it is important because it's for the Lord. If you know how to cook, train someone else to cook too, so they can help take over the banquets if you should get sick. If you know how to clean, teach someone else how to clean, in case the day comes when you can't clean anymore. And we ought to be taking our ministries, they ought to be fruitful ministries, not only affecting those we're ministering to, but training other people to take our place, our gifts. We talked about our gifts this year being teachers, preachers, servers, counselors, comforters, organizers. Those seven gifts in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, which every single believer in Christ has at least one. And then taking that gift and letting it be fruitful. The Lord came to the one that he had given one talent and the guy buried it in the earth. And the Lord called him a wicked and slothful servant. But somebody else was given two talents and he made two more. And somebody else was given five talents, he made five more. Something like that. You know the story. I don't have it exactly accurate, but they invested and they were fruitful with what the Lord gave them. And the Lord said to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things." And so these are some of the practices that we talked about this year that we should exercise. And they shouldn't just be practices, but they should be good works. Bible study, prayer, church attendance, stewardship, soul winning and discipleship, our ministries, our gifts. We talked about these being fruitful. Listen, have a fruitful prayer life. As we mentioned, see how much you can accomplish through prayer. We talked about George Mueller this year. And when he died, they found a notebook that had over 20,000 entries in it of specific prayers that he prayed to God in private that God specifically answered. Pretty fruitful in that good work, wasn't he? Let's be fruitful in our practices. And then, last of all, our positions. Well, last of all doesn't mean I'm near the end of the sermon. We have positions. They're called titles. They need to be more than titles. They need to be good works. I stress this all year. If you're a father, it's a title you have. But have it be more than a title. Let it be a good work. There's some fathers that have the title, but it hasn't been a good work. They haven't influenced their children. Proverbs 17:6 says, "The glory of children are their fathers." Being a father can be a really good work. You have great influence upon your children. Being a mother is a position some ladies have. But don't look at being a mother as a title you have. Look at it as a good work in which you can be very fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work. I'd say it's a good work to be a mother. There used to be an old saying, something about the hand that rocks the cradle. I forgot the rest of it, but rules the world. It's the mothers. It's a good work to have children, to influence those children, to raise that little congregation, to know God, to love God, to serve God, to live your life through them after you die. Your life still lives on and it's still multiplying as they then start influencing others. Being a husband, just be a title for some but man, or it could be a good work that he's involved in. It needs to be a good work. If you're a husband, don't just say, "That's my title, I'm a husband." No, let that be a good work. God has given you the stewardship of your precious wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. Help her get closer to God because she married you. Help her to have a better, what was said about the ladies, I think it was in Hebrews 10:34. It talked about these ladies who gave their lives to the Lord that they may obtain a better resurrection. I'm a husband, but I don't want to just have that title. I'm a husband. Why? Because 31 years ago I married Leslie Thompson. No. That's my title, but I want it to be a good work. I want her to be closer to the Lord because she married me. I want her to live a more fruitful life for God because she married me. A wife is a position that some ladies have. Don't let it just be your title. Let it be a good work. Proverbs 31:12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, there's some wives that drag their husbands down. But there's others that lift them up. There's others that, what kind are you? Are you the kind, I hope, that's what we're talking about this year, being fruitful in every good work. Being a wife's a good work. You can help a husband. You can encourage him. You can be his cheerleader in the things that God has given him to do. And you can support him as he helps to raise the children with you. And you can encourage him on his down days. And you can get him through times. You can get him through times. I know no marriage is perfect. Let me just say this. If you're divorced, you're not dead. Amen? Just because you're divorced doesn't mean you're dead. I've seen a lot of divorced people do a lot of things for God. Amen. A lot of divorced people know what it's like to hurt inside. And through that, they become more sympathetic towards others, more empathetic towards those who have been divorced. They can learn a lot of wisdom through divorce. They can help the younger generation. They can love the Lord. Just because you're divorced does not mean you have to go to pieces. Doesn't mean you have to rush out into another relationship. Did you ever consider Isaiah 54 and verse 5 rather? It says, the Lord, my maker, is my husband. And you can live a life for God. And man, we've had some divorced people in this church that just loved the Lord, and it was a tough thing they went through, but it ended up making them more tender towards those that are hurting. There's nothing that says you're divorced, you're disqualified from ever serving the Lord. No, in some ways, you're more qualified. Do you know God was divorced? Do you know that God was divorced? Do you know that yet to divorce Israel? You read that, Neil, he knows what you feel like. But he kept working on, didn't he? He turned to the Gentiles, started ministering to them. God did. Someday he's going to get Israel back, right? Amen? Check it out. Single people. Single person. That is a title some have. I'm single. But it doesn't have to just be a title. It can be a good work. A single person does not have to be a desperate soul in search of marriage or a desperate soul in search of the next relationship that'll probably just make your life even more complicated. But rather, you have the opportunity, according to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 34 and 35, to attend unto the Lord without distraction. We talked about single people in the Bible this year, Jeremiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty good group. Pretty fruitful lives. Wouldn't you say? Pretty fruitful lives. Teenagers. That's a title some of you have here today. I'm a teenager. But it's just not a title. It's a season in your life. Among your peers, that can be very fruitful. In fact, you teenagers are living in the field that is the most fruitful for winning souls to Christ. It is easier to win teenagers to Christ than it is 20-year-olds. It's easier to win teenagers to Christ than it is 30-year-olds. It's easier to win teenagers to Christ than it is 40-year-olds, and 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s, believe me. The older people get, the harder it is to lead them to Jesus Christ. But you teens can live a fruitful life right now in your position as a teenager. You can win souls. I used to win souls to Christ when I was a teenager. And two of them I know are in the ministry that I went to high school with. You can lead souls to Christ. Joseph, he was a pretty good teenager. David was a pretty good teenager. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:2, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers. Solomon said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It's a position you have. You're a teenager. How about a child? We had a children's day this year. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. Josiah did a pretty good work as a child. The king of Judah, who at the age of eight began to reign over Judah. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3, it says, and while he was yet young, he began to seek the Lord. You can be a special child. I'm a kid. Well, God's used kids before. Those in your 20s. So I'm in my 20s. All right, that's your title. You're in your 20s. That can be a good work. I believe, I can't document this, but I believe almost all of the 12 apostles that Christ chose were in their 20s. In their 20s. He found some working men. He loved to choose men who he found working. Doesn't mean they were necessarily good men, but they had the character and the discipline to work, and Christ began to mentor them for 3 years. And he trained them, and he took them everywhere he could, and they were young men. The Bible says Saul, or Paul, who became Paul, was a young man when the Lord reached him. And by Acts 17 and verse 6, it says this about those young men, these that have turned the world upside down are come here also. When you check the history of revivals, many revivals have been started by teenagers and 20-year-old young adults who said, we're tired of our parents' religion, we're tired of their hypocrisy, we're tired of their dead, cold, formalistic services, and we want to see God work in our lives. And as teenagers and those in their 20s, they begin to pray that God would bring revival. God honored their prayers. The Welsh revival of 1901 that continued to affect not only Wales, but often to Ireland, Scotland, and Great Britain, and even over into America. And it lasted almost 50 years. 50 years later, the effects of that. That was started by teenagers having prayer meetings and 20-year-old preachers. Brethren, the greatest revival in the future is going to happen during the rapture. Right after the rapture takes place, and everybody that has the Holy Ghost in them is taken off of this earth to go to be with the Lord and forever be with the Lord. The first thing God's going to do is start saving souls. They're called the first fruits. And God is going to choose 144,000 young men who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. And he's going to seal them in their foreheads. They're virgins. They're never married. They've been single. And they are going to bring about the greatest revival the earth has ever seen. Someday us that are in heaven are going to see all these people coming out of the tribulation into heaven with us, a multitude that can't be numbered, and we're going to say, who are these? And we are going to be informed, these are they that have been saved out of great tribulation and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And it's because of those 144,000 young men who give their all to Christ in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. You see, being a young adult, that's not just a title. It's not just a position. That's a good work. I was a pastor by the time I was 26 years of age. Man, my 20s, prior to that, for 4 years, when I was 22, I became a bus director and an assistant pastor in another church. Brother and I had zeal back then. I don't have now. And energy back then, I don't have now. But those were glorious days. And thank God I didn't waste my 20s. When I had some energy, I had a fruitful decade in my life. God wants us to be fruitful in every good work. How about you senior citizens? How about you grandmas and grandpas? As you enter into what may be your last great work, make it great. Little boys, little girls look up to grandma and grandpa as larger than life. Let them see that you love God. Let them see you love the church. When they come over, let them see you love the Bible. Let them see you love to praise the Lord and sing to the Lord and pray to the Lord. Be a grandma like my wife had. We used to take her when she was a little girl and force her down on her knees next to the couch and get down next to her and pray over her and say, "Dear God, let Leslie marry a missionary. Don't let her waste her life." God answered her prayers. I'm not a missionary, but I'm trying to plant a few churches. That's the kind of grandmas we need, grandpas we need. Shut the television off. Let them come to a quiet home where you sit and read them books and read them the Bible and explain the Bible stories, or you pray with them. Grandmas and grandpas. What power. Days should speak, and years should teach wisdom. Job 32 and verse number 7. Those of you that are employees, it's not just a title you have, it's a good work. You're at that place of work to be a testimony, to be a light in a very dark world. You need the power of the Holy Ghost before you go to work every day so that you can be a good testimony. So you can help your employer succeed in his business, in his efforts. Let him know that's what you're doing. So you can be the only one maybe each week or each month or each day that goes up to him and says, "Sir, thanks for giving me a job. I appreciate my paycheck. I'm trying to do my best. I want you to succeed, sir. I want you to know that." I hear so many complaints, it's sickening. Practices. Everyone can be fruitful. Bible study, prayer, church attendance, stewardship, our ministries, our gifts. Whatever. Your music, you can train people to make his praise glorious. And they're singing, their instruments. And when you die, still be going on. God is worthy of all the praise he can give. The rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. You can be fruitful in that good work. All of these practices we can be fruitful in. Or we can just read our Bible, check the box off, and got that done. But all these positions we have, if you're a wife, mother, father, husband, single person, teenager, child, in your 20s, grandma, grandpa, divorced, an employee, whatever it is, it can be more than just a title you have. It can be a power with God's help that you use to mentor others, to influence others. That's what our theme was about. God wants you to be fruitful in every good work in your life, every title you have, everything you attempt. I left out some things today. I didn't get to some things in my preaching this year, but you get the concept. You get the concept, I hope, that you just don't have a position to hold a position. I'm not just a pastor. I'm not a hireling. All right, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be trying to use this good work to influence as many people as I can. An assistant pastor. It's not just a title you hold. Use it to influence as many people as you can. I'm a bus worker. Well, it's not just a title you hold, but use it to influence as many people as you can, that you may be fruitful in every good work. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us. Help us to train others and not just do our job in some isolated way. Help us to use our gifts and all the things we're supposed to practice and all the positions, the titles we hold. We pray, Lord, that we would just take them. Help them, use them through the power of the Holy Ghost, and they make a difference in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing a song, page 218. I'm going to ask if you're not saved today to come forward and let somebody show you how to be saved. If you're not sure, or not 100% sure, you got some doubts that you're going to heaven someday, we'd like to have somebody show you how to be saved. If you come to the front and go to the back, somebody will meet you, show you how to be saved. Don't worry about the distractions. It always happens at this time of the service. It's not time to get our Bibles and coats and get ready to leave. It's time to respond to the Lord. Every one of you has some position. Maybe I named it, maybe I didn't. Why don't you pray about it today at this altar? If you're a teenager, why don't you come and say, God, don't let me blow this time. I only get one shot at being a teenager. If you're in your 20s, if you're a grandma, grandpa, father, mother, wife, whatever, if you're divorced, you're not dead. Man, there's so much you can do for God. And then look at the practices. Is your Bible study just stale and cold and dead, not getting anything out of it? Why don't you come and say, God, make your word alive to me again. Let it be fruitful in my life so I can tell others what I learned about God. Soul winning dead, discipleship dead, stewardship dead, whatever. What is it? Let it be fruitful. Let's have a fruitful church. Let's stand together. 218 in your psalm books. Won't you come? Come right away if you need to be saved.